Welcome to Quality Perks, the podcast that not only delves into the intricacies of contact center quality management, but also uncovers the personal stories of industry leaders. Brought to you by BPA Quality, your trusted partner in enhancing customer experiences.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to Quality Perks with BPA Quality. We've got some special guests today. So as you know, I'm Karen Dupree, Director of Quality Solutions here. And
I'm Neil Eggers. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, we're got some of our data scientists here from BPA. So we've got Dane Newman, and we've got Matthew Grintis, who looks like he might have dropped off somewhere. So, Dane, it might be the Dane show. We'll see if we can get Matt back. But Dane is Insight Product Manager. He's been with us for about 9.5 years, and he is out of our UK office. Good morning, Dane.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on today.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. You know, UK, so it's afternoon time here, so middle of my day. I'm very well, thank you. As I was kind of looking at the content of these episodes again, felt very much pressured to switch from tea to coffee. And I'm I'm trying a spiced rum coffee today, and yeah, it's not half bad.
That's Mr. good. Grintis is back from the blip or the glitch. So welcome, Mr. Grintis.
Welcome to the Matrix.
We were just finishing introduction. So Matt, Director of Analytics, and he's been 13 years here at BPA. So between Karen is 13 plus, I'm 10 plus, and with Dane and Matt, we've got like over 45 years of experience. That's rough math. That's a good thing we brought the data scientists with us. So lots of experience on the call today. So Dane has graciously made the switch from tea to coffee for us today. Matt, what are you drinking today?
Oh, I'm drinking very bad coffee, and I apologize. I didn't spruce up my coffee game in advance of today's session. I'm drinking Starbucks decaf house blend, so nothing fancy. This is the second cup of the day, so first is caffeinated, second is decaf. We could do another decaf maybe in the afternoon, but otherwise it's a bit too much.
I understand.
Yeah. Today's mug, though.
Neil, you don't understand.
No, I don't actually understand that. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. But what about your mug, Matt?
Oh, so my favorite thing to do when I can is camping and hiking up in the woods, up in the mountains, especially in the winter. I love going snowshoeing and camping out in lean-tos that we can find. The best part of that tradition, maybe not the best part, but one of my favorite parts of that tradition is on the way out of the woods, trying to find the greasiest greasy spoon in whatever small country town we're nearest to, and filling up on the biggest eggs and bacon breakfast we can before heading back home. So this is from the Catskill Mountain store, which was exactly that, a greasy spoon. We had a massive breakfast, and I took this souvenir so that I can long for camping while I'm here in the sunny office today.
Right.
Excellent.
That's good. Karen, excellent. What do you have?
I have an organic rainforest blend. Here we go. And it's environmentally friendly, as you can see. So it is recyclable, biodegradable, and it is very delicious.
It sounds delightful.
Yes.
We were talking earlier how I committed a Quality Perks faux pas and accidentally threw out the bag of coffee that I'm drinking from. So I'm just going to show my mug today. It's Stumptown Coffee from Portland. So I threw out the bag, put the beans in one of those air saver things. And well, what do we do? Yeah. So Matt, we've on previous episodes, we've talked about coffee consumption. And I'm just throughout the day. So it's anywhere between 6 or 8 cups of coffee a day. So the one regular and then one decaf is just, I don't, if my, you know, if my parents are watching, I'm sure
it's unfathomable.
Well, this decaf is just for you. This normally wouldn't be part of the routine in the morning. So this is a special extra decaf cup in the morning.
We appreciate that. Just for the show.
Just for the show.
So getting down to business a little bit, thank you both for joining us. You represent part of our data scientist team. And we were talking a little bit earlier, and I really just have to ask Dane the question. Dane, what is it you do?
I feel like that's very much a Chandler Bing question where I can't quite articulate it. However, I'll give it my best try. So essentially, I'm at heart, I'm a data journalist and a data storyteller. You know, in the world of very powerful tools that give us great data and analytics, it's very, very good to have. But essentially, when we're trying to solve a problem using root cause analysis and conveying what the problem is and what the possible solutions are to the people that need to fix them, that's kind of where I come in. So I convey the story, the idea of how to solve the problem as best as I can. You know, our data scientists and our analysts, they work in the background with the data. You know, they do a fantastic job. They give us the framework of where we should be looking. And then myself and my team, we're really the subject matter experts with the customers that we work with, within their processes, within their culture. And, you know, we work to do that. We make sense of the data and, you know, tell them the story of that data, where it aligns, where it doesn't align, what did we find, and more importantly, sometimes what don't we find, to kind of help customers arrive at, you know, systemic recommendations on how to improve their business operations or their customer experience. And that's really kind of what we've been doing for a while now.
And Dane, that's interesting. Neil.
No, I was just going to ask probably the lead in to sort of the Matt and Dane Venn diagram, where do the two of you overlap?
Yeah, so it's really in those business insights projects. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Neil. So, you know, my team, my very small and capable team, we leverage the speech analytics technology that we have available, along with all the other data that's available to us through traditional call quality, through whatever data our clients are willing to share, especially things like CSAT and other important KPIs. And really what we try to do, as Dane mentioned, is look for problems to solve. Sometimes our clients come to us with those problems and sometimes we have to go find them ourselves. But where the real value is in the confluence of the technology and the human listening. So what Dane described and what my team do, when we combine those two aspects of call quality, we can really drill down into root cause analysis and make clear and concise recommendations for how our customers can move the needle on whatever it is that they're trying to do, be it improve that customer service, that experience, be it impact the bottom line with fewer repeat calls, shorter calls, fewer holds and transfers, and all of that. So it's really exciting that we've been working much more closely together lately so that we can use the expertise of our teams in solving some of the same problems.
Sure. And Dane, can you walk us through a little bit of the process of reaching those outcomes?
Certainly. You know, at high level, especially in our proactive capabilities for our intelligence, you know, we collaborate with our clients. We look through their data that may indicate that there's an opportunity, and an opportunity that aligns with our mission statement, which is, you know, we're here to first and foremost improve our customers' customer experience with their guys, help them make efficiencies where there are possibilities to do so, and help them detect possible risks and things like compliance or regulatory spaces where, you know, our guys or speech, as it can do, is monitoring that performance. You know, our data team will take all of those metrics, look at things like aggressive spikes or dips, long-standing trends, and predict where those trends are going to essentially provide us with lists of opportunities where we can say, you know, hey, by the way, this item here, we're predicting a 10% drop in CSAT from what we're seeing, and there's a chance that this is going to end in, you know, 2,000 more unsuitable customers. Can we go in and find, you know, can we go in and discover what's here, what's causing this? We actually provide proposals with some of our clients where we'll hand them a few examples and say, which one would you like us to go after? Or which two or three would you like us to go after? What's really important right now? And then my team will do the root cause analysis. And we usually will arrive at a systemic recommendation to, you know, adjust that customer journey to make the effort quicker, easier, or to kind of help a process or tool enhancements. And those ideas that we usually give them have ranged from, you know, the super conventional and the obvious to all the way to quite outside the box ideas. And that's, it's really kind of a high level journey. And then they, you know, we give them all of that work and then they choose what they want to do with it and then feedback what the actual outcomes were.
It's pretty in-depth analysis. I'm just thinking about all the different opportunities that, that could be leveraged using that type of deep dive. I think you caught me on the, you know, all the way from the super obvious all the way down to, you know, something that wouldn't have been found unless we were looking for it. So it's pretty interesting. I think that, I guess a question for both of you to leverage off that. So a company that's just starting out their journey in the speech analytics space, what type of advice would you give them?
Yeah, good question, Neil. I think there's a few things to consider when they're starting their journey. One is that the tool, while it's powerful and it can do a lot of amazing things, it can't do any of those things on its own. And it really needs strong strategy and governance to be effective. And I think that sometimes what we've seen with some of our customers or some prospects is that they might purchase the tool at great expense and not necessarily invest the right way in supporting that tool and really trying to get the most value from it. So having that strategy of how am I going to use this tool? What problems do I intend to solve using speech analytics? I think those are questions that everyone should ask themselves as they're starting their journey. You know, having the infrastructure in place, not just to use the tool, but to generate those leads, to dive deeper with the human element and listening to the calls that we identify through speech to really hone in on root cause. One of the things I like to say about speech is that it's very good at studying the breadth of an issue, right? We can quickly analyze all the calls that are handled in a certain time frame using speech technology. And what it's not as good at, and what human ears are much better at doing, is going deep. So it's the depth. We can write forms, bespoke forms, to ask questions that are very, very specific, and we can have our expert evaluators answer those questions. That speech just isn't capable of doing today. So really the value is in not replacing your traditional quality program with speech, but with supplementing it and enhancing it and kind of living where the two overlap. So looking at depth and breadth in order to really solve problems. I think that would be the advice I would give, is invest in the strategy and the infrastructure to support it and really drive value from it.
Yeah, and have a clear understanding of what you're attempting to do. You know, have a game plan that's going to change over time. It's a cruise ship, small course corrections over time, but having a game plan of what you're going to do over the long term is helpful as well, I would say. So I think both of you have very interesting roles at BPA. I'm wondering what from your lives brought you to this. So it's an interest in the data science. It's a specific skill set that one needs to have in order to be successful. I'm just wondering how did you come to this specific role?
Matt, you want to go first?
Sure, I can go first. So for me, it was a job I had right out of college. I worked in a contact center and my role there was outbound, which always is more challenging than inbound calls, as we know. In my specific role, it had to do with student loans. But I was a counselor. So my role was to place outbound calls to borrowers who were at risk of default and offer them solutions to avoid default. I couldn't even collect payments. But the number of times I was hung up on, screamed at, cursed at was staggering. And I think that inspired me a bit to try to change, I guess, the way we approach these things. And so the opportunity came along a couple of years after I joined that organization to start a brand new quality team. They had no call quality in place. And so I applied for the position. I was, I earned the role of a quality evaluator there. And being a brand new program, I was involved with all the aspects of setting it up. So form design, calibration, outreach to the teams that were impacted, trying to measure the efficacy of the form against real stats like CSAT and how much we collected and how many defaults we prevented. So I found that to be just a fascinating process, and to see the real impact of it, over the couple of years that I was there, was really gratifying. And so when I got this opportunity with PPA, started here as an evaluator doing similar work, you can really start to see how this work matters. And so I think that's what inspired me to continue on this journey. How about you, Dane?
Yeah, I pre-BPA, my career was a fairly diverse one. I think I worked in everything from jewelry wholesaling to working with an energy company. But I suppose what got me to doing what I'm doing now, pretty much every role I had at BPA, I certainly always had this mindset of, I don't like doing things the way I'm always doing them. There has to be a better way with the technology we have today. There were a couple of things I've done at BPA where I was quite proud that I invested a little bit of time to change a process or enhance something. And I always felt a sense of reward once I realized that the time investment back for the efficiency saving, that's great. We've made something better. We've made somebody else's, journey or someone's life at work a little less painful or a little less arduous. And so I've worked at multiple divisions at BPA, but once I got into, insight product management and doing these root cause analysis investigations for customers, it's pretty much as pure as you can get to the mindset I had in my other roles. I just describe myself as a passionate problem solver. So if you present me with a conundrum that doesn't have an obvious answer, then I'm definitely going to have fun trying to solve that problem. And it's always rewarding when the lightning strikes, you suddenly realize that's why it's happening. Or even that's sometimes the data is a great point and it puts us in the right direction. But as Matt says, the technology is an enabler. It can't tell you absolutely everything. So that magic of still going in and finding that moment of lightning where that's what's causing the issue, that's really rewarding. And that's kind of what brought me to this spot here, really.
Great feedback. I'm inspired. Karen, I don't know about you.
I absolutely am. I definitely need to get smarter when it comes down to the analytics side of things.
And then Dane, isn't the best feeling once you have that lightning strike moment, getting to share it with a client and hearing them experience that lightning strike as well, that can be really gratifying. So I think that's another reason why we keep doing this, right? We find good results, and then 6 months later, we get to measure to see if they were able to course correct and fix whatever that problem was. And I just love that.
It's that aha moment. Mm-hmm. And you can literally see that light bulb like turn on above their head.
Yeah. And it's an infinite game, right? It just keeps reinventing itself as we go. So I like the infinite side of it.
Yeah, that's very much the case. I mean, to Matt's point, we've had some feedback from clients about, hey, look, we made this change based on what you said, and our CSAT went up by 17%, or our first call resolution has massively improved. And it's always great to hear that. And to your point, Neil, with the infinite side, that's the attitude we try and take, especially when you get to the end of an investigation and you're making recommendations. It's great to make conventional recommendations, especially if the evidence is pointing you to that. But you've also got to try and think, are there any unoriginal ways right now to solve this problem that we're not, that we're not taking into consideration? So, I agree totally with all those points.
Good stuff. Well, I'd like to thank you both for your time today and the insights and the experience and the, just the level of professionalism and the data and the recommendations that you both bring to our clients is really amazing. So thank you both for your time today. Karen, as always, it's great to share this 20 minutes, half hour with you. And we will see you back here next week for another exciting episode of Quality Perks.
But actually, Matt, it's not next week. It's the week after.
Two weeks.
Spring break.
There we go.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Yeah. Dane, Matt, gentlemen, Karen, thank you so much for your time. And we will see you in two weeks.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.